just to kind of draw all this together, there's some more interesting teaching on this same thing in 2 Peter. But just to kind of draw it all together, let me just kind of remind you where we've been, starting at Matthew 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling his disciples, if you want to follow me, then you need to deny yourself and take up your cross, do my will. And if you do that, if you lose your life for my sake, then you'll truly find it. And when the Son of Man comes in the glory of his Father, you will be recompensed. You will be rewarded. And then we saw how Jesus took them up on the Mount of Transfiguration to show them that time when he would come back, when he would be in his glorified state, and when that reward, that recompense would take place. And then we move over to 2 Peter, and he just emphasizes the fact that we know that this prophetic word is sure. This prophetic word that talks about Jesus' return, it is sure, because we were up on the holy mountain and he spoke to us, and we heard the Father say, God the Father say, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. And Peter just keeps saying, I'm going to tell you, I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again, because it is paramount in importance for you to keep your eyes on this goal. So what I want you to see now is what Peter was talking about in chapter 1 of this letter before he gets to verse 16, because he's building up to that point, and he is encouraging them to live in a certain way so that they won't be disappointed. So if we start with verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So this is a godly life, a supernatural, powerful, godly life. Everything has already been granted, and it's been granted to you by this true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So there's two things that he's given us. He's given us this true knowledge of him and this power so that we might have everything that pertains to life and godliness. And verse 4 says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. In other words, you're going to be able to live above the world system. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You won't be conformed to the world, is what he's telling them. And everything's been given to you through this, through the power and the knowledge of him, so that you'll be able to partakers of this divine nature. So he says, verse 5, now for this very reason, you know, that all these things have been, for this very reason, here's what you do. Applying all diligence in your faith. So he's going to say, these are some steps of growth that you're going to need to go through. And he's saying, be diligent, diligent, diligent. Don't just kind of ho-hum about it. Be diligent. For this very reason, applying all diligence to your faith. So faith is the first step. We enter in by faith. So he says, then add, supply moral excellence. So we start in by faith, and then moral excellence has to do with sort of turning away from a lot of stuff that is not morally excellent. And then in your moral excellence, what's the next step? The next step is, will you gain more knowledge of God, more knowledge of his will, more knowledge of what he wants you to do, more knowledge of his precepts and his principles. And as you gain more knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. See, as you see more and more what he would require, then it takes more and more self-control. But self-control, you know, that's a fruit of the Spirit. So he gives us what's necessary for self-control. And then in your self-control, perseverance. As you walk according to his word, as you walk according to his Spirit, according to his will, you're going against the grain, you're going against the world system. And so there's going to be reaction, and you have to persevere. There are going to be trials and tests. And in your perseverance, he says, it's going to be tough. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be spoken against. Your feelings are going to be hurt. And he said, but in the process, you're going to become a godly person. It's going to do good things to you. It's going to make you godly. And then it says, when that happens, you're going to develop something called brotherly kindness. You're going to understand other people's hurts. You're going to be able to feel their pain. You're going to have empathy. And then finally, the end result is agape, Christian love. So that's just the little growth process. And he says now, verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful. In other words, you're going to be a fruitful believer if you do these things. You won't be unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. If you lack these qualities, see, if you're not growing in this way, he's saying you may have forgotten your purification from your former sins. It's like you would think, well, I thought I was saved. I thought I got saved, but I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. It's kind of like you forgot. It's if you're not moving forward, you know, you kind of
doubt your salvation,
and it's easy to just kind of fall away. And some people would say, you know, if you're really saved, you'll produce fruit, and you'll just keep on producing fruit. But here he's saying, no, that's not necessarily true. You need to make sure you do these things so you don't fall away. And if you don't do these things, you will kind of fall back, and you may forget that you were saved in the first place, or you may doubt your salvation. Then verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Now, the way you make certain about his calling and choosing you is you just keep growing. You keep growing on in moving on in these steps of growth. As long as you continue that, as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. See, that eternal kingdom, it doesn't say this is the way you get saved. We know we get saved when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This entrance into the eternal kingdom, he's saying, this is the reward. This is the ruling and reigning with Christ. And this entrance will be abundantly supplied to you if you do that.
If that were the way that we were initially saved, it certainly would be a salvation of works, wouldn't it?
Sure would. Therefore, now this is in verse 12, therefore I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. He said, I know you're sitting back there and thinking, how many times has he told us this? He has said it over and over again. He's saying, I know that I've told this to you, but I'm going to tell it to you again. It is so important. It's kind of like what your mother used to say. I know I've told it to you. I'm going to tell it to you again. And that's what he's doing. He said, verse 13, and I consider it right as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ have made it clear to me. And I will be diligent that at any time after my departure, I will be diligent. I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. And then he says, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's where he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ returns. So he's telling them all these things. He says, live like this because Christ is going to return, and you want to be ready for his return. You don't want him to return and not be ready. You want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.